Chapter 3. Jimmy. You'll maybe not believe this, but I was stoked when I first set foot on Mars. Building the future, man. We all were. And, sure, there were scientists and other nerds already here, but they were living underground or in closed systems. They weren't living on Mars like people wanted. We were going to take a chunk of the planet and make it so, within our lifetimes. People could walk about on it, take a Sunday stroll after church under the canopy of Hellas Planitia, under the Martian sky. And it was a mad project. Seriously, put a roof on all that? Somehow generate that much atmosphere? But they'd done the math. In fact, the math had been done by a real they. The thing they just called bees, back when bees was a good thing. Back when bees was just prepping Mars for us. Goddamn bees. But bees reckoned that, with B-Tech, Earth life could get a comfortable foothold down in the depths of the Hellas crater. And so they took us and engineered us and shipped us across heaven and dumped us down in hell. That didn't last. I mean, probably still there are a few clueless schmoes who are still aces about the whole business. But your man Jimmy here is wise to it. It is the company's script they pay us in mostly. I mean, okay, it's not like we can run out to a local Walmart with our sweaty hands full of dollars. And okay, when we're done, they promise a good exchange rate with whatever currency we want. But I don't believe it. Mostly because just about nobody will have any script left to exchange. I mean, yes, they give you a tiny little hole of a place to lay your head, and company canteen serves out nutritious slop as part of the deal, but anything else you pay for. Who do you pay? Two choices. You pay the company, or you pay some grifter who's running a racket on the black market. Where you and said grifter both might get picked up by the bad news bears for breaking the rules at any moment. And then you'd get fined, so that's even less script in your pocket. You pay to download entertainment. You pay for booze. You pay for a bigger room. You pay through the nose for any damn time you break the rules. Everything you get in your wage packet goes right back into the company purse, like water into sand. And when I saw how that worked, that was when my keen went just about the same way. Which was unfortunate because, in seeking a prop to help me stay on my two tottering feet, I developed some fairly expensive habits that led me to both volunteer for any crap job with a bonus attached to it, and to take on a few under-the-counter jobs for sharks like sugar. Anyway, there's me with my account scraping along at just about 0.0 balance, and payday just gone. So naturally, I go to complain to the boss, meaning admin. Admin is at the heart of Hell City, in the built part. It was the first to get dug out, and it's the only part that's fully pressurized and oxygenated round the clock. There's a grid plan of streets radiating out from it, above and below ground. All those business and residential units that nobody's allowed in, still coated over with plastic to keep the dust out. There are actual apartments there, 100 times the size of what they call our nooks, where we bed down. But they're all sold off plan to intrepid colonists on Earth, who are going to come rough it out here in luxury and tell each other how goddamn rugged they are. Nobody wants uncouth engineered laborers soiling their spotless floors and putting our boots up on the chaise lounge. There are a couple of bad news bears slouching on the pokey plaza admin's airlock opens onto. These are the other sort of bioform, the dumbass sort. They're not full sentient, just force-grown animals with a bunch of headwear. So the bleeding hearts rights activists back home don't get to complain about them being collared. Although I hear that collaring is back in back home. Thank fuck it wasn't when we were being engineered, say I, or they'd a goddamn well fit us with one, believe you me. So, Anyway, bad news bears. Basically, admin's heavy mob. Not that they'd ever quite needed one, but there are about 30 of the damn things, and 10 of them out of the freezers at any time, maybe. 10-foot bears, only a little engineered from base stock. Best thing you ever saw to clear out a bar or a card game that's got too enthusiastic. And it means nobody comes to admin to make trouble, like I'm doing. Except they're dumb as bricks, and you just got to know how to handle them. I show them my ID. Just got back from maintenance. Need to report, I tell them. And their headwear processes that as they frown and huff and sniff at me. You don't show you're scared of them, basically. They're not like the dogs who just love chasing a running man down for the fun of it. Bears are lazy. They'll come on heavy if you give. But if you keep your cool, then you're too much work most of the time. Unless they're hungry and you've got candy on you. I had candy. I slipped a stick of it to each of them, peace offering-like. They crunched it down appreciatively, dumb as bricks, like I said, but brighter than bears. I make sure all the bad news bears know old Jimmy has candy for them. Someday they'll get sent after me, and that knowledge might just be the difference between me getting brought to admin and me getting brought to admin with less than the usual number of limbs. Anyway, that gets me in, and I wait around and bug the duty secretary, breathing in the clean, fresh, Earth-standard air. The light's different, too, all tinted a special shade of blue that's like the sun. Only the sun when you're 75 million clicks closer in. We're supposed to have something like that all through the living spaces to keep us from cutting our wrists every damn morning from all-year seasonal affective disorder. But frankly, it never seems to work right. It's only when you get to visit admin you really find out what you've been missing. My body doesn't know what's going on, frankly. Christmas and my birthday all at once. Even the suit air wasn't this rich. Makes you feel almost drunk. I wish I could bring a load of bottles and smuggle it out to sell on the street. And then I've made enough of a nuisance of myself that the chief administrator's door slides open and he puts an annoyed head out. "Oh, Danny Boyd," I sing out. The pipes," because he really fucking hates that. Martin. He names me like I'm a disease he's caught. "What do you want?" Project manager Daniel Boyd is not quite like me. His skin is pinky, hair mousy brown rather than the silvery gray we've all gone. His eyes have fewer lids than mine do, because he never needs to worry about blinking away dust 24/7, or that his vitreous humors or whatever the hell might suddenly pop out of where they're supposed to be because there's damn all pressure outside them. They still modded him, but not so much as me. He's made to stay indoors on the red planet. "Got a bit of a problem there, boss man. Mind if we take it to your office there?" His office has comfy chairs. I have sat in them. I would pay company script to do so again. My ass thought it had died and gone to the good place. "What do you want, Martin? You said you needed a report, but I've read your report already. All good. Job done." And he's a diligent enough bastard. He would have read it while sitting in his comfy, comfy chair. "Boss man, I can't help seeing I didn't get paid." I think I actually feel the slight extra load in my headwear, the system borrowing my capacity at standard rates to call up the information, seeing as I'm right there and convenient. Danny Boy's querying the system, because obviously he doesn't know my financial standing off by heart. The system's going through all its different stages, including inferring my consent and feeding back to him. "No, you were paid," he says. He's got a tablet there, showing the money going in. "I see that," I say reasonably. "What concerns me more is where it all goes out again around 0.5 of a second later. That's the garnish, he says. Or that's what I think, he says. For a moment, I think I somehow bought the entire Martian parsley crop or something when I wasn't looking. It must have shown on my face because Boyd expands. For your loan payments fell due, and you hadn't paid them, so they were garnished from your wages. I'm sorry, Martin, but it is in the print of the contract you signed with the lender, I'm sure. Check the documents over. If you have a complaint about them, bring it to me and I'll take a look. But usually they're solid. And yes, obviously I've been taking out loans month to month because of that one month when things were tough and I was getting through a lot of stringer. And then the next month when I needed the loans to pay off the previous loans, and then I was off, wasn't I? Fixing the perimeter when the payments fell due, but Boyd sees it on my face, and the bastard thing about him is he is sympathetic. Easy enough for a man in his position to be an utter corporate bastard, but Danny Boy came to Mars because he believed in the project, and the real corporate bastard stayed home and probably made twice the money. Sympathetic, but won't lift a finger to help. And what he doesn't see on my face is that I have no stash left, and the need to get some stringer in me is clawing at my guts. If I was a regular Joe like Boyd, I'd be sweating and shaking and obviously strung out for something. But I don't sweat, and I don't shake, and my engineering hides all the bad, bad things I'm feeling right now. Outside, back in the dust and the thinner air, I put a call into the lenders and spent far too long basically pleading with them to give me a new loan. Because that's how it goes, isn't it? They give you a cup today so they can get two cups from you tomorrow. Except that downward spiral can't go on forever, and apparently this is as far as it goes. I am no longer a good enough credit risk, says the automated system the lender has here in lieu of an actual human I could grab by the ears and scream at. I'm still standing in Admin Plaza when I'm doing this, under the incurious gaze of the bad news bears, when I look up, feeling my lips peel back from my teeth, feeling like the great vast emptiness of Mars is closing in around me like a coffin. They're not the only audience I've got. I've been shouting, I realize, shouting at the lender, whose voice is just a whisper in my implanted earpiece, shouting on Admin's doorstep. No wonder someone turned up to see how much of a problem I was. Martin J. His deep, growling voice comes straight to my ear via my radio receiver and mastoid bone. You're causing trouble again. Hey, Rufus, I tell him. I was just moving on. Sure. And he lets the word hang, playing with it, turning the end of it into a long, low growl. Rufus is a big dog, almost enough to give a bad news bear a run for its money. He's wearing an armored tunic that leaves his massively muscled limbs bare, the shaggy hair on them mostly clear of dust, because him and his deputies have a little electrostatic field built into them that keeps it off. Rufus is the sheriff of Hell City. I mean, no big hat, but that's where he is. He carries a gun that could kill a bear real easy, and I saw him do just that 4 years ago when one of the bad news crew went crazy, screwy wiring turning it into a marauding monster. One shot from Rufus's gun. No hesitation. No more problem. His deputies have guns, too. Nobody else on Mars does. The self-defense lobby back home are oddly silent about this inequality. But nobody really wants people like yours truly to have a finger on any kind of trigger. His posse scares the crap out of me, frankly. Serious old-school bioforms. Ex-military models, all. Dogs, cats, a dragon type, all of them engineered like me for Martian suit-free EVA. Rufus could track a fugitive across the goddamn sands of Hellas Planitia, and I reckon he's just desperate for someone to give him the opportunity. No trouble, Sheriff, I say, all humble-like, clamping down on the gnawing inside of me. Just a personal matter, Sheriff. Sorry. He leans in real close. He's got a broad face, massive jaws that could crunch me up like breakfast cereal. On his chest, that's three times as wide as I am, there's a medal. A picture of a different dog form, looking nobly off into the distance, along with the words, In Memoriam Rex. And you don't mock that kind of thing. Bioforms who wear that token, they take it real seriously. You smell like you're in real trouble, Martin J. And he can't really smell as well as he might. Not the way they mess with my body chemistry, and not in this thin air. But Rufus has headwear, too, and he uses it to hunt the system. They gave the bastard a virtual nose for sniffing out bad luck bastards like me, and he knows I'm screwed. He can smell my electronic fear. No trouble, Sheriff, I say again, and back off from him in case he gets a whiff of my jonesing. Sorry, and I'm taking myself off home as quickly as I can because I don't know what to do. On the way there, I call every dealer who's talking to me in case any of them have a sudden fit of inexplicable generosity. None of them fancy advancing me anything on credit. Not again. Not this time. Suddenly nobody in Hell City wants to know poor Jimmy. And wasn't I such a good customer to them always? There's no gratitude. I'm going to head home. I'm going to go to what the designers refer to as my nook, meaning living space the size of a matchbox, with a fold-down bed and facilities down the hall that I share with 50 other Joes. I'm going to just crash and hope that being tired wins out over being strung out. And maybe, when the pangs wake me up in 4 hours, something will miraculously have changed for the better. Except as I shamble back along the corridor of the workers' dorms, I hear someone banging up ahead. And my special psychic senses tell me it's my door they're banging on, mostly because it's my name they're shouting. Martin, you fucking waste of breath. And similar unkind sentiments directed at yours truly, who isn't, thankfully, actually on the other side of the door they're so abusing. I know the voice. This is Matthias Lau, and if you recall what I said about them not hiring anyone too big nor too small to fit the suits, well, Matty Lau is right on the big end of that scale. And there was that time last month when the loan money had run dry. Matty fancies himself as an up-and-coming loan shark, see? So he was only happy to slip me a little of his wage packet to tide me over. Only he's still working on the part of the business where people take him seriously enough to want to pay him back. The head of anger on him sounds like he is ready to take the game to the next level, fists and all. I skulk back down the corridor and decide maybe the night's still young and a fella like me got places to go. Except I don't got places to go, do I? The only place I want to go is some dealer who's inexplicably up to give me a new line of credit. But Hell City isn't exactly that flush with people who can smuggle a consignment of illegal pharmaceuticals on the supply run. And there's only 3 Bent Techs cooking stringer on the domestic market. And I've reached the money in front stage of my relationship with all of them. So, it's money I need. And by some goddamn lousy coincidence, that's the one thing I haven't got. And there's only one place I can go that might get scrip into my shaky little palms and the sort of timescale I need. I'm going to see Sugar. Stringer keeps me going. Drug of choice for those who, as the saying goes, choose drugs. Because Hell City life is many things, but what it is most is repetitive and mind-numbingly boring, and absolutely anything you might do to lift that boredom costs you scrip. And so why not drugs? Why not let something else do the heavy lifting from inside your head? Exactly. When String is sitting on your shoulder, you feel cool and purposeful and collected. You can go make a pass at that guy or girl. You can put in for that danger money job you didn't dare to before. You can, most importantly, see off the end of an 8-hour shift of utterly tedious Martian make work and come out feeling that you've done something important, made the world a better place. Well-being and contentment, and not feeling just how rubbish everything is. That's the gift Stringer gives you, and that's what it takes back after the hit fades. On my way to see Sugar, I actually have to stop and have a bit of a dry-eyed sob about how utterly I screwed up my life when I volunteered to build Hell City. How the posters and recruiters were lying bastards. How the company doesn't give a shit. How I'm not human. Not anymore. My face isn't my face. And they say they'll change it back, but really? Will they really care about us when we're done? It's in the contract, but one of the big attractions to a lot of people about Mars is that it ain't under the jurisdiction of the World Senate. Given that it ain't, you know, part of the world. A lot of business and tech and mob types gonna end up based out of Hell City. You mark my words. When it's up and running for business. Greatest tax haven there ever was. And nobody telling you no if you've got the money to pay for yes. Sugar, Dana Sugatsu, is a construction worker. Same as me. You see her on site still now and then, toiling away with the rest of us schmoes. Otherwise, admin and the sheriff would take too much of an interest in what she actually does with her time. And I reckon they kind of know, with Sugar and the other fixes. They must realize there's a whole black market economy going on here in hell. The planners back on Earth likely figured it into how everything would work here. Safety valve for all the bitter, grumbly steam we build up. Sugar's kink is data. We've all got headspace, after all, and the drain of admin doing its job barely scratches the surface of the great big implant we all got. And barely pays a dime, too, when admin goes borrow processing power and storage space, because those rates are fixed in our contracts. But you can rent out your head to others, too. Inja Core has 5 people storing whole back catalogs of her favorite soaps for her. Some other guy I know, he's writing some definitive history of some dead guy nobody cares about. Paranoid about losing the work, so there's 19 heads out there got some draft or other of it in them. But there's other uses you can turn your head where to, if you don't mind them being absolutely goddamn illegal. Sugar's got friends back home. The sort of friends she was probably running away from when she signed up for Mars, I reckon. But now she's here, they've got a good thing going on. You see, data's a funny thing. You can copy it, delete it, pass it around. It's so easily replicable. It oughtn't to be valuable, really. Except, what if there's some data that you simultaneously really think you're going to need later, but you really don't want anyone else finding it? Incriminating videos, blackmail stuff, a mobster's accounts, your porn collection. Where, oh where, could you possibly send the last copy of that once you deleted it from absolutely everywhere else? Where might you find a big old data store that could hold it for you, outside the reach of any subpoena or legal summons? It's a mystery. It really is. I've done the work for Sugar twice before. She knows I'm good for it. I don't peek. I don't try and crack the encryption on whatever shit she hides in my headspace. And if the money's only a fraction of what she's taking from her friends back home, at least it's right there in my account and available for necessities. I've put a call into her already because Sugar's not someone you turn up unannounced on. She's down in Storage 19, which is her personal kingdom. She is, actually, official logistics clerk for that whole row. But that unit is always suspiciously empty, just an outer wall of crates with Earth stamps on them. And then a big hollow space inside with her people moving stuff about. She does a bit of the regular smuggling, too, though no stringer, worse luck, or she'd be the ultimate one-stop shop right about now. Mostly it's the data, and just as well because I'd be crap all used to her otherwise. She's had a bunch of the small-size crates piled up and locked together to make something very like a throne, because Sugar has a sense of humor. And when I get ushered in by one of her goons, she's sitting there with a leg thrown over the arm of it. She wears the same company overalls we all do, but open down the front to show a Diamante spangly T-shirt with the words, "Who's Queen" on it. She has jewelry, too, which isn't something you see much over here. Piercings are right out because of the way that interacts with the below-zero temperatures and our metabolism's metals processing. But she's got these ornate, twiny metal dragons clasped along the outside of her ears, and she's painted her eyebrows and lips gold as well. You'd think she was some rich guy's arm candy first time you saw her. She's small, pert, bright as a button. I saw her tear some guy's fingernails off once. Not one of her heavies, but her herself, using a tool you're supposed to reserve for broken crate clasps. But then he had it coming, and he was wise enough to go report an industrial accident when she'd done. On either side of her throne are the other reason nobody's come to take all this away from her. 10 feet tall each, bigger than the biggest of the Bad News crew and way smarter. Full-on bare model bioforms, wearing the heavy-duty overalls the company makes for them that do nothing to make them seem safe to be around. Alike as twins, the pair of them, staring at me with their tiny, hostile eyes, mouths just open, enough that I can see what big teeth they both have. One has a big clawed paw hand on the back of Sugar's throne. The other is holding a rivet gun big enough that only the bear models are rated to use it. Because Sheriff Rufus has the only real guns, but there are ways of making do. One of them is called Murder. The other one's called Marmalade. I don't know which is which, and I'm sure is goddamn not going to ask.
Well, if it isn't Lucky Jim,
Sugar greets me. She has a smile. Actually, she has maybe the most beautiful smile in all of Hell City. Just ridiculously radiant, even though it doesn't even move a mouth much. I want to cry again, seeing that smile. It's like Stringer feels.
You're looking rough, Jimmy,
she adds solicitously.
You're looking strung out. What's the matter? Horizon sickness all of a sudden?
Because that was a thing some of us got in the first year. Couldn't adjust to the gravity, to the pressure, to their own changed bodies, to the wrongness of being on the wrong world. Oh, you know, I manage, although I still want to cry, and you can't. Not really. Mostly because of the extra eyelids and the fact they stopped up my tear ducts. Just wondering if there was anything I could do for my friend Sugar. If there was anything you needed hiding, just for a bit.
Word is, you're on everyone's shit list, Jimbles.
She's still smiling, though. I want it to be fond, because fond might get me what I want, but it's more like crocs and dolphins and other critters where the mouth just goes that way and it don't mean a thing. You know, I do this little flip of my hand, que sera, sera, as if it's all very much in my stride. But for real, you know, I'm good. Soul of discretion, me.
If you had anything, any work, anything, and I can hear the strain of my own voice by the end there. For a moment, she's weighing me up, and I think she's going to decide I'm too much of a risk, too strung out, too far into we'll do anything for a fixed territory to be useful. But then she nods, still bathing me in that smile. I got something, she agrees. Hot out of earth, big load. Take up your whole headspace. You good for that? Happy to jettison whatever else you got there? It'll mean no piecework for admin, but as that pays precisely Jack, and as they took my tears anyway, I won't cry over it. Marmalade, she says, take Jimmy the mule round the back and load him up. And apparently the bear on the left is Marmalade, the one without the rivet gun. And you really don't want to end up where she's telling Murder to take you round the back. The upload takes way longer than I'm happy with. They've got me sat on a crate while a short-range network that doesn't go beyond Storage 19's walls dumps the data into me. Nobody tells me what it is, of course. I don't ask. Probably it's just data, but sometimes it's whole programs, illegal tech stuff someone wants to run where nobody'll see it. Data analysis that's got to stay secret. Headspace has a lot of processing power, way more than we need day to day. So naturally, we found uses for it nobody intended. Like this whole data black market Sugar and her peers run. And on it goes. I've never taken on this much, and I keep expecting to feel full, bloated, constipated with it. Except it's all in my head, and the only indicator is the percentage marker inching up. And sitting still for all this is real hard, what with how desperate I'm getting for a little chemical reassurance. So I go through the back half of the process with Marmalade's heavy paw weighing down on my shoulder and one sickle claw along the line of my chin, just to remind me of priorities. Just because it's the other one that's called Murder doesn't mean Marmalade's a softie. My mind does feel a bit jangly by the time we're done, but frankly, I can't separate anything new from the overriding need to go score. Sugar transforms my script to a new account she sets up for me, because I don't want to piss it down the hole of my creditors, thank you very much. And I'm flush again. And I could go pay off Maddie Lau and the loans people and a few other dumbass schmoes fool enough to advance me a dime. But right now, that is not my priority. My priority is getting the hell out of Storage 19, putting a call into Stanky Greer and meeting up with him, rat-faced weasel bioform that he is, to score a big old bag of stringer. I pop one on the way home, and suddenly the world's looking a much rosier place. I only remember about angry Matthias Lau when I'm actually at the door to my nook, but that's okay because he's left some time in the intervening hours. I swan into my tiny, tiny living space, but the stringer in me is making it feel like a palace, like the hall of a god-king from which I can truly make a difference. I go over to the work rota, pick out some extra duties. I'm going to goddamn build a city on Mars, man. I'm a superhuman on another planet, and I'm making a difference. Go me! And in the middle of this, someone says, access all channels achieved. Can you hear me? I turn around, because apparently I've left the door open. Embarrassing, but right then I can handle it. The door's closed. How about now? Can you hear me? I'm registering activity in your radio receiver implant. It should be working now. There's nobody in the nook with me. There was literally not room for another human body. Nowhere to put the smallest model bioform. I check my radio implant. There's no incoming call. and a quick troubleshoot shows normal functionality. "Hello?" I try.
Good, yes, we have dialogue. Your internal system architecture says your unit 4720, but I see also Martin James Caspian. I'll call you Martin.
Jimmy, and all that wondrous goodwill and well-being the stringer gave me is just leaking out through my boots because, well, you know those horror movies where the call is coming from inside the house? Because there is no incoming signal. I can disconnect entirely from all outside channels, and that voice just keeps coming. It's the data. The data is talking to me.